Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Not familiar with mastermind groups? Learn how they can make you an all-around better person with the expert, Aaron Walker. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Aaron Walker. Aaron is a veteran entrepreneur from Nashville, Tennessee. He started his first business at the age of 18 and sold it to a Fortune 500 company just a short 9 years later. Since, he has continued on to buy and sell 8 successful companies over the past 36 years. And today, Aaron spends the majority of his time helping men grow in success and significance. He does this in his role of president and founder of View from the Top, a premier life and business coaching resource. So, Aaron, is it safe to say that your passion is personal development and that the lesson you are going to teach us on this lovely Thursday is on the importance of masterminds?
Oh, Lynette, first of all, thank you so much for having me on Motivate Me. This is an honor. It's a privilege. My passion is personal development. I love mastermind groups, been involved in them now for 2 decades. And I get to do it every day. So you know what? I don't know if I'll teach you everything you need to know. I'm not even sure I know everything. But what little bit I do know, I'm happy to share.
Well, isn't that the beauty of it, though? I think masterminds in general, and I'm going to have you define that for everybody, but masterminds in general is about that, like bringing minds together and brainstorming and coming up with new ideas. Am I close?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it can inspire you on, it can empower one another, encourage, edify, lift up, but it can also help you to pivot, because oftentimes the things that we think is the path that we should take, it's not. And so maybe I'll share a story or two that to show you the benefit of being in the mastermind from both perspectives.
I would love that. Now, you know, we start our show with a quote that's meaningful to our guests. Do you have one you'd like to share?
You know, there's two quotes that I'll share that have really impacted my life. My mom, when I was a child, would not allow me to say can't. And as a result of that, I've developed a lot of self-confidence. And she had a little saying that she would say as a child to me, can't couldn't do it, and could did it all. And I thought it was cutesy at the time. It was like, man, quit saying that to me. But as I've grown older, I've developed a mindset of exactly that. Can't, could never do anything, but could, did it all. I've raised my children that way. I'm helping pass that on to my grandchildren as well. The other mantra that I've lived by is fear missing an opportunity more than you fear failure. And if you'll do that, 9 out of 10 times, you'll be very successful.
I'm nodding. My head is nodding over here. Excellent insight on both accounts. So how did this passion start for you? Because I mean, just business in general, you were 18. What was the company that you initially started?
Yeah, I got to give you a little backstory. Is that okay? Can I take 3 or 4 minutes? Give you a little backstory. So let me take you way back. I'm 55 now. So when I was 13 years old, my dad asked me to help him remodel this health studio into a pawn shop. I never even heard of a pawn shop. Didn't even know what a pawn shop was. So I went, took us 90 days. At the end of that, I said to the owner, I only live a mile from here and I go to school half a mile from here. I'm 13 years old. Could I have a job here sweeping, cleaning up, doing whatever you need? And he looked at me and he goes, you're hired. I said, that's the shortest interview in history. It lasted about 10 seconds. I started working there. 2 weeks later, Lynette, I had to ask him what a pawn shop was. I never even heard of a pawn shop. He explained it. Over the next 2 years, I fell in love with that business because of the diversity of the clientele. And I decided to make that my profession at 15 years old. I went to summer school and night school for 18 months. I had enough credits at the beginning of my junior year of high school to graduate, so I didn't have to go my junior or senior year. I worked each and every day from my junior year forward. At 18 years old, I met two guys that had a lot of money. They owned the 21st largest insurance company in the country, and they both lived here in Nashville. And I approached them one day and said, listen, why don't we take your money and my experience and open our own pawn shop? And they said, are you serious? I mean, how old are you? And I said, I'm 18. And they said, we've never had anybody 18 approach us. I said, well, you know, there's a first time for everything, I guess, but why don't you consider it? Well, we entered into about a 90-day negotiation period. And Lynette, I came from a very, very humble background. My dad never made over probably $15,000 a year in his life. And we lived in about a 700-800 square foot house, four kids and two adults. My dad was a terrible businessman. He was a great man, though, high integrity, high character, and he taught me a lot of those values and skills, but he didn't teach me anything about money. And so these guys kind of took me under their wing. We went to the bank. We borrowed $150,000. That was a lot of money in the 70s.
Well, and for an 18-year-old period, even today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I look back now and I think, I don't know what motivated me to do it, but I wanted a better life. You know, I wanted to see the world and I wanted to accomplish some things. And so they checked on me, found out I was okay. And they had the money to invest in the business, but they said, we want to go to the bank and sign a note because we want you to have skin in the game. And I'm thinking, well, I don't have anything to lose. I don't have anything. So we signed the note and I'll never forget the day they handed me the checkbook at the bank and had $150,000 in it. And they said, go open the pawn shop. And I remember Lynette going and getting in my car and I wanted to throw up. I was so nervous.
I have to tell you though, as a business person myself, that's so exciting. It's so exciting.
It was very exciting after I got over the nausea.
Right.
Right. And so I'm like, okay, here I go. So I did. I found a location, negotiated the lease, opened the store, very successful. Right out of the gate, we worked really hard and I got married 2 weeks after my wife got out of high school. I was a year ahead of her. She came to the store at night. We would work, deliver flyers. We would do whatever it took. We would do it, you know, no matter what. And we decided at an early age that we would delay gratification. We would live like no one else, like Dave Ramsey talks about. So later you can live like no one else. And we poured all the money back into the company. And in 36 or 38 months, we paid off that $150,000.
Wow.
We decided to open another store, and we did, and it was successful as well. Did the same process with it. When I was 25, opened the third store, 26, the fourth store. When I was 27, a company called Cash America in Fort Worth, Texas, came to Nashville. They wanted to buy my stores. We negotiated for a while, told them I didn't want to sell. Finally, they said, hypothetically, if you were going to sell, what would you take? And I just pulled a number out of the air to get rid of them, and they accepted. They said, we'll take it. So then I got sick again. I'm like, what am I going to do? And they said, we don't care what you do. We want your stores. And I'm like, my goodness. So I go home, talk to Robin about it. We pray about it. We're Christians, and so we pray about everything that we do. And so I talked to my banker. He agreed. You need to do it. So we did. 3 months later, I woke up on a Monday morning and I was done. And I thought, well, this is cool. This is like going from rags to riches. You know, I didn't have anything. Now I've got a little money. I'm 27. I've got two daughters at the time. So I went and played golf like anybody would. Then I went and fished and then I hunted. And then 18 months later, I was bored out of my mind.
Right.
I had no purpose. I had no meaning. I had no reason to get out of bed. I gained 50 pounds in 18 months.
You were living.
Well, I was, but you know what? I thought I was.
I know what you
mean. That's the whole thing. Yeah. And so Robin woke me up one day in the middle of the day. I'm taking a nap. She goes, Aaron, this ain't the guy I married. You got to do something. Mm-hmm. So I go back, go in partners with the guy that I started with when I was a kid. I bought 50% of the company. We spent the next 10 years growing that company four times the size it was when I started with him. I worked 3 days a week. He worked the other 3 days a week. It was like, you know, utopia. I'm like, how can anybody have this kind of schedule? You work 3 days. Well, then, Lynette, my life changed forever. August 1st, 2001, I'm headed to the office. Things good, right? I mean, business good. I'm working 3 days. We've built, you know, a very successful company. And a pedestrian was crossing the street, didn't look my way, and I ran over and killed a pedestrian.
Oh, no.
So I stop on the side of the road and I'm like, God, this didn't really just happen to me. Seriously. I mean, everything slowed down. Lynette, I don't know if you've ever had anything really major happen in your life like that, but it was like I was out of body experience. It was like I was watching a movie. It was like, this is not happening to me. And literally everything slowed down to like slow motion. Well, I looked, turned, looked around. The guy's laying face down. Cars are stopped everywhere. And, you know, I get out of the car and I'm shaking so hard I can't dial 911 on my cell phone. Finally get my composure, dial 911. Police come, ambulances. He lived 3 days in the Vanderbilt trauma unit. His name was Enrique. He was 77 years old. He was from the Philippines. And he didn't make it. And so I told Robin, I said, listen, I've got to make some changes. We've been living our whole life chasing success. We've done good, et cetera, et cetera. We got all the toys and all that kind of stuff. But if that had happened to me, what would my legacy have been? So I started thinking this stuff. I'm thinking like the reality has set in, like, what am I doing? What's the purpose? What's the meaning? Why am I doing this? You start asking yourself during times of trials like this, well, what is the deal? And so we decided to sell the business. We did. And 30 days later, I'm out again for the second time. And we traveled. We built a new house, had to have a change of scenery. It took me 5 years to work through that. Finally did. Robin wakes me up from another nap and she goes, you're getting fat and lazy again. It's time to get on the road. So we opened a construction company. The guy, actually, we didn't open it. The guy that built my house, I so loved what he did. I went partners with him. So we grew that business to a very successful company. Number one, 3 consecutive years over the next 8 years in Middle Tennessee. And then I turned 50 and I retired. I said, I'm done. Well, some of my mastermind members came to me. You may or may not recognize some of the names, but Dan Miller, 48 Days to the Work You Love, is in my group. Dave Ramsey, with the Lampo Group, Financial Peace Guy. He's in there. Actually, it's his group. He invited me to join his group. Dave and I became friends back in 1995, and we've been best friends now for about 2 decades. But he invited me to join the group. Ken Abraham's got about 110 books in print now, a very noted author. But the point in me telling you all of this story is to say there's ups and downs, right? As an entrepreneur, you know, we have highs and we have lows and we have tragedies and we have to overcome. And Dave Ramsey, Dan Miller, and all those guys were just starting their businesses, you know, 20 years ago. They weren't who they are today. And the reason masterminds to me are so valuable is you see what all those guys did with the collective minds, the general consensus of the multitudes. You know, now we've got IQ in the genius level because you've combining 10 guys, putting smart guys in one room, and now you've got a really, really solid answer for most problems because there's a general consensus. So we all grew our businesses together, and it's been really fun. It's been a journey. So I started View from the Top, which I now coach men nationally and internationally. We have mastermind groups I facilitate weekly. We have the community, which we have men from all over the world that belong to our community. And Lynette, I'm having more fun today than all 10 businesses combined. I'm having more fun today because we're helping ordinary men become extraordinary.
I love that question. Where do the women go?
Well, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for women out there as well. A lot of people say, why don't you coach women? Well, my wife said, because I make them cry.
I think your wife should start coaching women.
I've tried to get her to do that, but she doesn't subscribe to that. She likes to kind of behind the scenes and kind of low key. And, you know, she takes care of our grandkids and she really enjoys being at our home. And no, she could. She's very qualified. She's just not interested in doing that.
But could tell me when I'm being lazy, Lynette.
Yes,
it's
she would.
Time.
She
exactly.
would.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're both pretty motivated. But I only coach men because I've been in men's groups, accountability groups, mastermind groups, leadership groups at our church. I know men inside and out. I know what they're thinking. I know what they want. I know what motivates them. And so I used to do financial counseling and the husband and wife would come together and I would just say, you're spending too much money. And they'd start crying. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't deal with all these emotions. And so I just said, I'm going to coach men. So not saying all women cry, but I just said, listen, I know men and I don't know women. You know, I don't know how they think or what motivates them. You know, I've got my wife of 36 years. I know what motivates her, but I know how men think, and that's my avatar. 25 to 55 years old, those are the guys that I love spending every day with.
Well, and I know the guys who spend time with you because I know a few of them just have so much respect for you and what they're gaining from their time with you.
Well, I appreciate that. We've got some awesome guys. 10 guys come together in a video conference room called Zoom, and we do these appointed times. Every week we meet. We have 2 live meetups a year. I just rented a ranch in Dallas, Texas, 1,000-acre ranch, 27,000 square foot lodge on it. And at my expense, I paid for all that. I got all the guys from all the mastermind groups to come. And we absolutely had a blast. It was so fun. For 3 days, we did all kind of fun stuff, shot skeet, and we did everything there. Great food. We did TED Talks. It was just a great time of fellowship, getting to know each other personally. We're going to do it again in Nashville, November the 12th and 13th at Evans Mill. And so I've rented that place out for November. All the guys will be coming. I facilitate 7 groups personally, and then I've got other guys that are facilitating other groups. But I personally lead 7 groups a week.
Okay, so you're going to teach us about masterminds.
Okay.
What do we need to know?
You know, boy, that's a very broad question.
It is.
Let me tell you how we do the groups. So first of all, you make an application to join the group, and there's about 30 questions. And we ask you everything. We get to know our guys intimately because I can't help people if I don't know them, right? There's no facades in our group. The quicker the veil can come down and we can expose ourselves and show that we're all a bunch of knuckleheads, right? We're trying to figure it out. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. And we get these guys together, and I teach them right out of the gate because I'm very transparent. Just even in my story, I told you, you know, in 10 minutes, a lot about my personal life. Well, I share personal struggles and challenges because it's not all great. Things don't just go straight uphill, you know, with an entrepreneur. There's plateaus, and then there's peaks, and then there's valleys, and then we go again. And so it looks kind of wavy, you know, if you look at it on a graph. But so we go in the group, and right out of the gate, we learn about each other. We figure each other out. It takes time. A lot of people think, well, I'm going to go right in there in 30 days. I'm going to tell them all my dirty laundry. Well, you'd be crazy to do that. We got to make sure people are trustworthy, right? People earn that. And so we get in, we get to know each other. We read books. We have themes every month. I'm an avid reader, and so we're constantly reading books. Like, we study authenticity, we study leadership, how's making your business bigger, making your life better, what do you really want, how do you want to design your life. I teach people to live on purpose, not reactively, but proactively, and then we develop a map, because, see, enthusiasm will only carry you so far. Motivation is an exhaustible resource, but a plan works. Like now, I meet with my COO quarterly, and we plan out the whole quarter. I know what books we're reading. I know what the theme is. I know what I'm blogging about. Know what we're tweeting on. Know what we're putting in Facebook. We know the strategy. So we have a plan. See, I don't have to get excited and motivated. I got to execute the plan. And if you put your left foot in front of your right one each and every day, you know, eventually you'll be further down the path. And that's what I teach people how to do. So we got to get people of like mind. Now, they don't have to be like their financial statement doesn't have to be the same, because I was in a group, Dave Ramsey, for example, is making $1 trillion a month, right? I don't do that. So, but we both are men of character. We're honest. We want to excel. We want to be great husbands. We want to move the needle forward. We want to grow our businesses. Simultaneously, we want to be significant, right? Not just successful. We want to be significant in our lives.
I like that so much. And, you know, I mean, it's about grooming the whole person, I feel. And I think, too, you know, about coming in and airing your dirty laundry and trying to get that all out on the table right off the bat. I think it takes time because you're constantly making discoveries. You're changing, you're evolving, especially with the input and the experience of the other people around you. Once you expose yourself to people like you and everybody in there who's moving forward, you change, right?
Well, there's seasons. See, it's not forever in a day. I mean, you don't make a decision and you stay that way forever. We go through seasons. And young guys right now, you know, 25, 30 years old, they got 2 kids at home and they've got this debt and they're trying to make it and they're having to work more hours. And then they go to work and they feel like, if I work twice as long, well, then they come home and they've got a problem at home. Now they don't have a relationship with their wife and they don't go to their kids' ball games. And piano recital they miss. So now they don't know their kids. And then they go, well, I've got to make more money. And then at the expense, though, of your family? No, I don't think so. I mean, we don't want to do that. So there's a way to do it to where you can get ahead, be very clever about it, be strategic in nature, plan a lot. The place we miss it a lot is we don't plan. So we need to spend more time sharpening our axe before we cut the tree, and it'll go a lot easier. And so if we'll just continue to do that, see, here's the thing. I don't want guys to go to work and make a lot of money. You come home one day with a pocket full of money to a house full of strangers. Well, you've not accomplished anything. You're still a failure. And I don't want guys to do that. Listen, I've had the stuff. I've had the vacation home in the mountains and the beach condo, and I've had all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. And Lynette, there's nothing worse than a person with money saying, money doesn't matter. And I want to go, you liar, it does matter. It's
or you wouldn't have it.
Right. Let's take it away from you and see how important it is. Well, sure, it's important, but let's don't make it our primary focus. Let's don't make it our God. Let's don't make it the only reason we're doing what we're doing. When you have a passion and you use those skills and those abilities, you know, you'll make money, right? The money will come if you will add value, continue to give, change other people's lives, figure out how you can give. There's two persons in the world. There's givers and takers, right? I want to be the giver. I want to be the guy that constantly is giving value. And the natural reciprocity out of that will be people will want to buy your services. They'll want to buy your widget. Whatever you're doing, they'll want to. We spend about 25% of our time intentionally giving. I'll sit here and do video testimonials. I'll do endorsements. I'll connect people. I'll just go, hey, Lynette, you and Billy need to meet because you guys are, you know, and you connect people. And they're like, man, seriously? You really? Yes, I want to help you. I want to edify you. I want you to grow. I want to empower you. And then they're like, man, I want your services. I want you to coach me. I want to be in your mastermind. See, we have it backwards. We're trying to make the sale. And what we need to be doing is trying to add value. And once you add enough value, the sales will come.
I've learned that over the last couple of years. And that was new for me because I wasn't an entrepreneur. And I think a lot of people don't utilize that thought in their normal everyday life.
You know why? Let me tell you why. We're selfish. But that's just the truth. We're all selfish. We want for ourselves. And so the other day I went to buy a car, took my wife. We buy a new car every 10 years. I'm very frugal and we're conservative and I could go get whatever, but it's like, that's what we do. We've always done that. So I went to get a car and I said, I want a blue car with a brown leather interior. He said, well, I got just what you want. He goes, but the only thing is red. I said, I don't want a red one. I want a blue one. I want a brown leather interior. He goes, well, there's rebates on the red one. I said, I don't care about the rebates. I want a blue car with a brown leather interior. He said, well, this one's on sale today and we can give you this. And I said, let's go, Robin. I'm dressed in shorts and a t-shirt. You know, I guess he thought I couldn't afford a car. So we go back and get in the car. I gave him my business card and we left. A week later, he calls me back. He goes, you know, he said, I think I can find you what you want. And I said, forget it. And if he had been listening to me instead of trying to make the sale, if he had tried to give me something that I wanted, right, give me value, if he'd have went in there and got on his little computer and found me a blue car with a brown leather interior like I was looking for, I'd have wrote him a check and left. But he wasn't listening. You know why? He was worried about making the sale to get his commission. He wasn't thinking about my benefit. He was thinking about his. And we get so tangled up in our society today, in our businesses. Quit trying to make the sale and give value. Fill the order for the client. Help them accomplish their goals. Overcome those obstacles. Give them what they're asking for, and you'll make the sale.
And I think the key, too, is to really genuinely mean it and want it for the person.
Well, yeah, it's a matter of the heart, right? I mean, you've got to really, you can't, people see through that, you right. know? I mean, right, I mean, you got to be genuine. You've got to, your motivation, that comes into a significant part of life. Listen, success for me is like having a little bit of financial peace, right? I like that. I like to pay the electric bill and don't have to worry about it. The other thing is my schedule. I love to have a schedule where I can go, today I'm going to go do this. Relationships for me are number one, period. Hands down, relationships. We intentionally build relationships all the time. Call people we don't know, set up meetings, coffee, you know, never eat alone. You know, there's books out there about that. But we do that very, very intentional. But the significant side of it is have the pure motivation. Have your heart right, really interested in that person. Help people that can't help you. right? Uh-oh, now we're in trouble. It's like, I'm not going to do that. He can't do anything for me. Listen, Lynette, we take our grandchildren and buy dinners for people anonymously at restaurants, and they love it. Can't tell the person, tell the waitress, don't tell them who we are. We go to the hospital and, you know, hand out donuts in the waiting room. We don't tell them who we are. Hey, man, praying for your loved one that's having surgery. Hope things go well. Like, who are you? Doesn't matter who we are. I just hope things go well for you. Go to the nursing home, play checkers with those old people that are in there that nobody ever goes and sees. And just my grandkids call it gratitude day. They love doing this. My granddaughter came up to me after the last time and she hugged me. They call me Big A. Said, Big A, this has been the funnest day of my life. She's 7 years old. You know what? Kids can only do that when we take them, but we as adults miss those opportunities every day. We could do that every single day, and we overlook it. Listen, our focus is wrong. We need to quit focusing on ourselves and focus outward. We need to look out, and the more you do what I'm telling you, I've been doing it 40 years, we'll be coming up 40 years, so I know it works. It's not like a gimmick. The more you focus out, the more success you will have. And people just have it backwards because they think, I got to hold my cards close to the vest, can't let anybody know, I can't share. That's bull.
But you know, Aaron, it does take, like, I really had to retrain my brain. And my husband is so protective of me. And also, you know, we live in New Jersey, so.
You need to move to the South. That's the problem. You can't even say Aaron right. You're saying Aaron. Aaron is on the Waltons. That's a Jim Bob little sister. I'm just messing with you.
I'm like, wait, am I saying
nobody
your name wrong?
Nobody outside of the South knows how to pronounce my name. I'm just
playing. Again. Say it again.
It's Aaron.
Aaron. Why didn't you tell me that in the beginning?
That's all right, because I knew you were from New Jersey, and none of y'all can say my name, so don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
What you would say, forget about it.
Forget about it. But the thing is, you know, we've always been very generous, giving charitable people, my husband and I, very much so. We help so many people out and just truly, genuinely. And my daughter has always seen this, you know, that she was raised that way. Things will happen at the cash register at Walmart, let's say, you know, and somebody in front of my husband can't afford their entire order. You know, she has seen both of us say, no, we got the rest of that, you know, or just put that order on our bill or, you know, whatever it is, to the point where now she's an adult and she'll tell me a story where this happened to her. And she's kind enough and aware enough to say, I'm going to step in and help these people out. And I think that's so important. But even still, we had to change. I said, you know, you can't stay guarded. You have to just give and let go. And then whatever happens, happens. I mean,
Lynette, let me challenge you to go a step further. So we do that intentionally. Like, we'll look for certain people that maybe we just assume, maybe senior adults, and we'll get behind them. And we'll tell the cashier, hey, put that on mine. They're like, what? We never tell them who we are. We got that. But I mean, it's intentional. It's not like by accident. Right. Every time I go to the fast food restaurants or Starbucks, I buy coffee. I'll tell you a quick story. So go in to buy coffee. And there's this lady, two persons ahead of the guy in front of me. And every time I go to Starbucks, I get the person in front of me or behind me, regardless, every time. And so I'm up there 99% of the time. Sometimes I'm in a hurry. So this lady's ordering her coffee, and this lady can't decide. And I'm like, lady, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Order the coffee. I got a headache. I need some coffee. Hurry up. And so finally she leaves. And so the guy ahead of me orders, and I tap him on the shoulder, and I said, hey, get whatever you want. And he said, well, I fully intend on it. And I said, no, I got you. He said, why? I said, I just want to bless you today. He goes, no, really, why? I can afford my own coffee. And I said, yeah, I know you can. I said, but I had to change my mindset. He said, what are you talking about? I said, that lady ahead of you, I wanted to kill her. I said, she can't make up her mind. It's Starbucks. They've never changed the menus. It's like orders. She's talking about frappes and cola. Nobody should drink cold coffee to begin with. But anyway, she finally gets it. Well, it started a really cool conversation with me and this guy. He goes, do you do that often? And I said, quite honestly, I do it all the time. And he goes, I love this. He goes, I'm going to start doing it. 2 weeks later, I'm in the same Starbucks. I do it again to the guy behind me. And as I'm leaving, I get my little coffee and I'm leaving, and I hear the guy behind me go, hey, to the cashier, I got the three people behind me. And I'm like, yes,
yes,
that's what it's about, right? Paying it forward. Let's help people. Let's look. I went to another restaurant, did a little test. Smiled at everybody came through the door, grinned, laughed, they're waving, we're you know, it's like everything's good. 15 minutes later, I solemnly are looking at everybody, the solemn look. Nobody smiles. Everybody looks at me the same way. See, we get by what we bring, right? If you bring it, you're going to get it. If you don't bring it, you're not going to get it.
I'm a firm believer. And so the people that you're surrounding yourself with in the mastermind group, they all have this same like-minded philosophy.
Sure. Well, most of them do. Like some guys are like, nah, I don't know. And then they start getting it. They see these other guys doing it and they're hearing it. We got this encouragement. We do accountability tools. We do like 90-day sprints, 4 major goals a year. You have to develop a plan, a strategy. You map it out. We hold you accountable. Like we post it in the private Facebook. I mean, you're laying it all out there for everybody to see. And that's the accountability. We gauge ourselves in 10 areas, top of mind areas that it's important. You know, your family, your career, your faith, your children, charitable things, donations, et cetera. Every week, you have to gauge yourself. So first time somebody gets a low grade, it's like, well, what's up? I mean, a 3 in exercise? I mean, you big fat pig, you need to go to the gym. What are you doing? And so we challenge each other. You know what's happening? Everybody's getting in shape. People are paying more attention to charitable things. People are taking care of their wives better. They're paying more attention to their children because it's accountability, which is 50% of what masterminds are. We all need it. Lynette needs, Aaron needs, your husband needs. Everybody needs accountability because we'll get twice or 3 times as much done with accountability as we would otherwise.
So Aaron, did I say it right that time?
You're getting close. You're getting back.
Aaron. If somebody wants to find a mastermind that's perfect for them, because I know you can get in a mastermind on any theme or topic, right?
Right. Yeah, there's all kinds of masterminds out there. It's kind of in vogue. You know, there's people, you know, really kind of ramping it up right now. Just be careful. Let me tell you something. This is going to sound self-serving, and forgive me. It's not, but forgive me. But I've been around them a long time. 80% of the time, I would say, I don't know the statistic, but I would say 80% of the time, when you're in a free group and anything comes up, you won't go to the mastermind. If you're paying money, now you got an investment. You got skin in the game.
Yep, you buy in.
Now you're like, we normally don't appreciate what we don't pay for. And so most of the time, if it's painful enough, it'll keep you going. Let me tell you, when I was in the group for a dozen years, you didn't get an appointment with me for that hour and a half. I'm in the group. Unless I'm dead or out of town, I'm there. It's just that valuable to me. It's changed my life. I mean, forever, it's changed my life. I will never not be in a group, ever. And I'm just saying, really think through the kind of group you want to be in. You can be in personal groups. You can be in professional groups. I personally think they're inseparable. I think they're intertwined. I think our personal lives and our professional lives as entrepreneurs are all intertwined. You know, I don't think you can separate it. I think you can separate the activity, but I don't think you can separate professional and personal. So I think it's all intertwined. I want to be a great man, right? I want my character to be there first. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great dad and grandfather. And then I want to be a great businessman. Right. And then I want to live a life of success and significance. I want to do the whole thing. I don't want to segment my life. I don't want to get over here and knock it out of the park, make a lot of money and forget about the relationships. But I just don't want to do that because I don't think you're successful. At the same time, I don't want to spend all my time at home, be a lazy bum and not provide for my family. And so I think there's got to be balance. Let me tell you the good news and the bad news about balance. The good news is that you have to stay on top of it all the time. The bad news is the tension never goes away. So if you're out there thinking, I'm going to make $50,000 more and everything's going to be good, you're sorely mistaken. Embrace the tension because if you're always torn, should I be at work or should I be at home? That's good. That's a good spot to be in because that way you're paying attention. If you don't feel that, you're probably running off the track. You're either at home too much or you're at work too much. But if you're feeling that tension all the time, I don't care how much money you make. I have clients that make millions of dollars a year that will never alleviate that tension. So just embrace the tension. That means you're paying attention.
And it means you have this challenge in your life too that you probably love and a family that you probably love, right?
Sure.
I mean, you have all these great things going on because otherwise if you're only in one direction, like when you were being lazy, right? You were home a lot, but you didn't have something that was stimulating you.
Right. Well, I had no purpose or meaning. There was no reason for me to get up. And it was pretty selfish, right? I was like laying at home, taking a nap, gaining 50 pounds, eating Cheetos because I got a little money in the bank and I don't have to be anywhere. And I'm like, man, here's what Dan Miller and Dave Ramsey told me when I retired at 50. What are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to live the good life. I've been working since I'm 13. And Dan Miller said, you've retired twice and it hasn't worked out for you. Why do you think it's going to this time? Are you going to sit on the front porch and rock yourself to sleep? He said, man, you need to take that 35 years of business and 35 years of marriage and train and teach and coach guys. I said, I'm not coaching anybody. Dan Miller said, come to Innovate. And I said, okay. So I went to Innovate. Oh, I loved it. He texted me on the way home that night because Dan lives here in Nashville. He said, did you see those guys leaning in? They were listening to what you said. You got to coach. I said, I don't know, Dan. I don't know if I want to do that or not. And then Dave Ramsey said, come do Entree Leadership Mastery Series. I'll gift it to you. And I went, daggum, that's a $10,000 gift, Dave. Come on. And so I went and did it, and I loved it. It was like, oh, my goodness, I get to teach these guys. And had two guys call me after Entree Leadership, and they said, man, would you be my mentor? One is in Dallas, Texas, and one is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I said, I don't know. And they said, we really want you to mentor us. And I went, okay. So I went home, told Rob, and she said, you know, maybe you should do it. So I got on there and started coaching, you know, and then there was this guy named John Lee Dumas. I'm like, who is that? I didn't even listen to the podcast. And they said, he's the guy, you know, you got to get on his show. And I looked it up. I said, he's only got 365 guests a year, and there's millions of people trying to get on. I wrote my story, and man, I'd be dead gum if he didn't invite me on. And so my schedule filled up pretty quick, and it's kind of snowballed from there. But listen, there is so much to learn from being in these mastermind groups. Listen, if you can't afford a mastermind group, get in a group anyway. Get four or five guys around you that you can meet with. Set a schedule. Don't do it once a month. Do it every week. Too much time that lapses in a month. Too much stuff can happen. You're in a fast-paced world. Meet every week at a designated time. Start out reading a book. Because when guys get together, they're talking about baseball, football, NFL, the biggest fish they caught. Listen, we'll talk about that stuff for 2 minutes, but we need to get on with it. The book will get you focused. Do themes for the month. This month we're doing leadership. We're reading Simon Sinek's book, Leaders Eat Last, you know, all kinds of themes that we do. Challenge each other. Do an accountability tool. Get to know each other and get in there and be transparent, be honest. Don't listen. Here, I'm going to say something really important. Y'all listen. Okay, lean in. Listen. Do not do masterminds with family. Do not do masterminds with your business partner, okay? They both are biased, right? They want what's best for you because they're your family. They're not going to tell you blatantly the truth. They're not.
In an environment for you to be brutally honest about yourself, where you don't want your partner or somebody else to judge you.
You get into a group with your family, there's things you're going to hold out to the side. You're not going to tell them the whole deal.
Right.
So get involved in group. That's the reason these internet groups have been so successful, because we have people all over the world. It's like, man, why would I not tell you anything? You know, you're 1,000 miles from me. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Now you get it out on the table. It's really awesome. I mean, the way they come together, because we've got guys in other countries that come together in these groups, you know, Australia, you know, we've got guys in Poland, we've got guys in France, we've got guys, you know, Canada, you name it. But these guys come together in these groups. Well, why would you not want to tell somebody in Canada, you know, everything you got going on? Just be honest. Lay it out there on the table so we can help you. If you're not transparent and you're not honest, and you're not willing to do that, you're not willing to subject yourself to the scrutiny of other people, don't join a mastermind.
That is another really hard thing to do, though, to be brutally honest and open and transparent like that is a change in perspective as well, I think. Change in mindset.
Well, here's the thing. You, Lynette, you only have one perspective. Right. I mean, it's the way you were raised and the way you see things and your values. And, you know, you only have one set of lenses. So Robin and I were going to do a big business deal. And she goes, what about your guys? And I said, well, I haven't talked to them about it yet. But what do you think? She goes, I agree. I think we should do it. I said, I do, too. So I go to the group. 8 out of the 10 guys told me not to do it. And I'm like, what? This is a no brainer. And they said, no, here are the reasons. 8 different guys gave me 8 different perspectives, things I never thought about. You don't know what you don't know. And I'm like, man, I never saw that. I never would have dreamed that in a million years. I never saw that. So that's what I'm saying. There's great wisdom in the council of the multitudes. Mm-hmm. And you get really smart guys in the room, like I said earlier, and you put them together. Now the collective IQ is genius. And now you've got 8 guys telling you, yeah, do it or don't do it. And so they can call you out. They can push you on. I was struggling years ago with a situation. One of the guys called me up one day, and we never talked to each other on the weekends. We respected each other's weekends. But he said, Aaron, I got to tell you something. I said, all right, what is it? He said, you're wearing the hell out of everybody in our group. And I started laughing. Well, he didn't laugh. And this guy's really a solid guy. And I said, excuse me? He goes, this thing that you can't get over. And he's a man of faith also. He said, it says in the book of Isaiah, take the chains from around your neck and move on. He said, brother, it's time you were moving on. I see you. I got to go. And hung up. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He just did that. And then I thought, you know what? This guy loves me. He's spent 10 years with me, and he didn't nudge me. He pushed me off the cliff. You know what, Lynette? It changed my life. It got me. You know, I said, you know what? He's right. They are sick of hearing it. He earned the right to tell me that because he invested so much time with me. And you know what? It changed the paradigm of my life. That's the power of the mastermind.
Okay. So, I mean, you just make me want to join a mastermind right now. So I believe to get people to act, they need to envision something for themselves and then explore what it would take and then execute a plan. So here we're talking about encouraging people to find like-minded people to become a part of a mastermind. What would somebody envision for themselves if they were in a mastermind?
Well, there's a number of things, as we've talked about through this whole interview, you know, the kind of character that you want. What do you want in life? And see, that's another question. If I were to say right now, Lynette, you know, if there were no geographic or financial limitations on your life, what would you do tomorrow? And most people go, I don't know. But see, that's living reactively, not proactively. We go out and mortgage ourselves to the hilt, and then we spend the rest of our life doing a job that we don't enjoy. We're not adding value. We're not getting purpose for ourselves or meaning, and we go through life. We miss living. So what we help people do is to say, hey, do what you were gifted to do. Let's figure out what that is. What gives you energy? What gives you power? What would you do each and every day if there were no geographic or financial limitations? We help you figure that out. And then we get in there and give you resources. That's what it looks like. It's people helping people. We're always connecting people. Now, when you get in our mastermind group, you have national and international relationships immediately, right? We have people all over the world that we can connect you to. So if you're growing a, you know, international business, now we've got connections. See, listen, your value of your net worth is directly proportionate to your relationships. 100%. That's why I spend so much time developing relationships. It's all about who you know. It's all about those relationships. This person can help this person, right? So I'm just saying those are some resources. We've always got some kind of resources that we're giving. We're always connecting. We're always helping, supporting. Accountability, I told you earlier, that's 50% of being in the mastermind. That's what you'll get if you're in a mastermind group. If you're doing the real deal, listen, my guys are like Marines. I mean, it's like, hey, don't even get in this group. If you're not going to do the work, you're not going to do it. Matter of fact, I asked a guy yesterday to leave. He hasn't come in a couple of meetings, and he's not showing up. I said, you're cheating the other guys. They're paying money for you to be there, and you're not being there. See ya. And so we got to lock arms. We got to get in the trenches. We got to figure it out. We got to live a life like you want to live. Robin and I have sat on our front porch for 36 years, and we've strategically mapped out our lives. People care too much about what other people want them to do or expect them to do. You know, don't should on me, right? Don't, you should do this. Listen, it's your life, but live it intentionally. Live it on purpose. Get with your mate. Y'all figure it out. Live in the house you want to live in. Drive what you want to drive. Go where you want to go. Not selfishly, but it's your life. But we overcome fear. We overcome anxiety. We overcome those obstacles. You can get all that in a mastermind if you got people that are the quality people I'm talking about that will tell you the truth, but you got to be willing to subject yourself to that kind of scrutiny.
So to explore what it would take then, what do you think people should explore? I mean, I'm assuming explore different masterminds, but I hear you also talking a lot about being introspective and also dealing with the relationships around you too when it comes to this.
You know, it's 100%. It's in its totality. That's what I was saying earlier is that we even do a personal assessment when you first join. We talk about your ideals, your identity, your relationships, your career, your family, your faith, all these things. We ask you these questions. Where do you, and you're like, man, I never even thought of that. I didn't even know I should have ideals. I don't even know what my identity is. See, most people tie their identity up into possessions or title. Well, what happens when one of those goes away? Does that mean you're no good anymore? See, we tie our identity up in the wrong things. And so we help people overcome that. Once you understand your identity and your ideals and your character, your relationships, your faith, your family, once you understand those things, you can relax. Listen, it's exhausting to live like a lot of people live, putting on this facade, don't even know what your ideals are, don't know what your identity is, don't even know what you really want. You're just out there every day. Whatever the world throws you, you just, you know, come back and you come back. It's not, man, well, you need to lean in if you're going to live your life. There's so much joy, happiness, so many good things. Listen, we've had so many bad things happen in our life. I'm not saying this is going to be join a mastermind, your life will be rosy. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you'll have a far greater chance of living a successful and significant life by getting in community. We weren't designed to be islands. Isolation is one of the worst things on the planet for any of us, right? We start hearing these voices in our head, you know, it's like, what, you know, nobody's going to buy your product. Nobody's going to do your services. It's like, that's not true. Carol Dweck wrote a great book called Mindset. There's two mindsets, growth or fixed. What we don't want to have is a fixed mindset. Well, that's just the way I am. That's my personality. Well, that's bull. Growth mindset says, you know what? I can't do it today, but with enough experience, education, enough edification, enough empowerment, I can do anything. And you can. Now, there's physical limitations. Don't hear me wrong there. I can't dunk a basketball. I wish I could, but I can't. But there's things that we need to have that growth mindset. Can't, couldn't do it, could did it all, right? Everybody that's hearing my voice can do that. But we have these upper limit challenges. Gay Hendricks talks about it in his book, The Big Leap. And that's a great book, by the way. We sabotage ourselves. We create these upper limits. And when we get there, we're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do now. You got to break through that. And same way with Carol Dweck's book, Mindset. It just gets you in a different place. You can't do that on your own, is my point. So listen, go join some mastermind group today. Start looking for those people. Start meeting, encouraging each other, and your life will change. I promise you. I wouldn't do it. Why would I do it for 20 years if it wasn't a good thing, right? It'd be crazy for me to do that, but it's a game changer.
I think you just gave the execution step and today's go-do at the same time there, and I loved it.
Yeah, well, you just need to, you have to figure it out. It ain't going to be perfect. When you first start, it's not going to be ideal. You're going to go, nah, this guy's not right. This is not a good fit. You know, it's long term. Don't have a short mindset in regards to time. You know, I've been doing it 2+ decades. It's a long term venture. It's daily. It's weekly. It's, you know, you have these relationships, these people around you. It's like, it's a whole different mindset shift, the way you look at things. You know, listen, if you're looking for it, you're going to find it, whether it be good or bad. You know, you ever been around people, no matter what restaurant I go to, I always get the smallest steak. Mine's always burnt. Well, if that's what you're looking for, that's what you're going to get.
I just posted something about this this week. Same thing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's just as easy to look for the positive as it is to look for the negative.
Nah, no question about it. And I choose not to complain. I choose to be happy. Happiness is a choice, not a trait. Right? We got to learn to be content, void of complacency. It's like, hey, I'm happy right where I'm at today. I was happy when I was right there at 18, at 20, 25, and 30. I chose to be content, but it's not complacency. That doesn't mean setting down, stop going. I want to go for it. Listen, I'm going to view from the top is going to rock the world. We're going to grow this thing. We're going to grow the community, the mastermind groups, but that doesn't mean I can't be content. And then I choose to be happy. Is that bad? Was it horrible to have an accident? Is it horrible to go bankrupt? Yes, but you know what? I'll get over it. You know what? There was money made then. I'll make more money. It's the way we look at it. We have to choose what we want in our life.
The lessons that we learn from those experiences, you know, it's what impacts what you do next.
Well, listen, let me tell you, first of all, failure really doesn't exist, right? There's two things. You either succeed or you learn. And if it didn't work out, okay, well, I won't do it again. Listen, missing the opportunities out there are countless. I'm just telling you, they're out there. The world, we live in the most exciting times that's ever been. There's more opportunities today to be successful than ever before in the history of man. And I just want to encourage people that if you want to call it failure for this example, let's call it failure. Failure is in not trying, not in not succeeding. I couldn't lay in bed at night and think, man, could I have done it? That would kill me. I'd rather do it, didn't work. I took what I learned from that and I apply it to the next thing. And the other thing, people think, I'm afraid people are going to talk about me. They're not. You're not that popular. None of us are. People are not sitting at home around their dinner table talking about your failures. And so get over that. Listen, hey, go for it.
So if somebody wants to reach out to you and find out more information about your mastermind, what contact information would you like to share?
Yeah, I'll give you that. I did bring a little gift for your audience. Is it okay if I give it away now?
Absolutely.
Okay. There are three documents that we've already talked about. Two of them we did. The personal assessment, where you go into those things I talked about, your identity, ideals, family, relationships, faith, etc. There's about 30 questions on there. There's not a right or wrong answer. It's just thought-provoking questions. The second one is called, what do I want? And it's living very intentional, very on purpose. You know, what do you want to do with your kids? What do you want to accomplish in 90 days, a year from now, 5 years from now when you retire? What kind of legacy do you want to leave, et cetera? The third one is steps to a productive day. Once you figure out who you are, what you want, then there's a very regimented daily productivity kind of schedule you can go through. It's kind of a to-do list on steroids. And I created all three of these documents. I took the price off of them. I'm not trying to sell them to you. I'm going to give them to you. And if you'll just go to viewfromthetop.com/motivateme, all in lowercase letters, I've made a landing page for you. Go download them for free. Hopefully it'll make your life more successful and significant. And you can reach me at viewfromthetop.com. Everything is there. For the guys out there that are listening, the community is $37 a month. You can join my community, have direct access to me. I do a live webinar every Wednesday where we bring in really, really cool experts and a lot of people. You would recognize their names if we had enough time for me to tell you. We have a private Facebook page. I'm connecting people all over the world. You can join that for that, the masterminds, then the one-on-one coaching. I would love to talk to any of you.
I would love for my husband to look into this, to tell you the
truth.
Well,
go get him. Tell Mr. Renda he needs to join.
Because he is the kind of guy you're talking about who's got great character and, you know, is a great employee, is a great husband, great father.
Awesome.
You know, always looking to do better. So, Aaron, it was so nice meeting you today. And just the information that you have is so enlightening. And I'm sure that we could talk to you for probably 2 weeks straight and continue to learn new things from you.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been very fun. Thank you, Lynette. I appreciate it. And maybe we can get back together again and do another interview. So thank you for having me on Motivate Me.
I would love it. And everybody, that's the end of the show. Please remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.